Yes, you can be seated if you like. I hate that it's cold in here tonight. I wanted to run the heater, but apparently there's water in the kerosene. This happens unless you pour all the water out to begin with. It just won't burn, and of course it makes it a little inconvenient for you and especially for the children. And I almost hate to get up here sometimes because of just one or two. I don't have many folks like that, but of one or two that I have in the congregation, it's been that way ever since I've been with me, that live so much in the flesh that they just can't hardly bear to make any sacrifice for God. And it's real. If I let my mind get on it, it'd keep me from preaching altogether. And you wouldn't think anybody live that much in the flesh, but they do. And I am of a reasonable heart when I say this. I do not believe that they're Christians, and I do not believe they'll make the rapture. I do not. Now, I know that they are Christians in their head up here, but in their heart, I don't believe they're Christians. And I don't believe they'll make the rapture. I hope they will get saved before Jesus comes. I hope, and I feel like it's getting mighty late, and that if they're going to do anything, they're going to have to do it in a hurry. But I appreciate God tonight. I thank Him for His blessings. And I know that the cross was hard. And I know that it gets a little chill. It's really not cold, but it's just changing. The weather's just changing just enough to be chilly when we've been used to the nice, warm sunshine, the comforts. And it makes it just a little bit hard. I didn't want to interrupt the service tonight as in hopes that maybe the singing would be kind of short tonight. We get right into the Word for your sake, but the Lord apparently seemed fit to do it otherwise, and I just ask you to bear with me and do me one favor. Always when I'm preaching, don't try to decide when I'm supposed to stop, because just as quick as you do, I feel your spirit, and it just lets an evil spirit in, and it only makes me to realize what kind of condition you're in. So don't do that. Now, when them thoughts come across your mind, dismiss them as quickly as you can and get them out. I've got enough understanding to know when I'm supposed to quit. And I've been preaching for about 15 years, and I know when I ought to stop, and I try to stop, and I can't stop. I can't please everybody. Jesus couldn't do that, and I can't do it either. They crucified Him because they wasn't satisfied with Him. And yet He had no fault. He had no fault. But they still killed Him. They killed Stevens. You say, well, the world will do that, Brother Pike. No, the world didn't do that. The church did that. The church folks was the one that did it. So the world wasn't paying attention to it. It was the church people that did that. They asked Jesus, said, where'd you get them nails? He said, in the house of my friends. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and when it's a little cold, we need to swear to our own hurt. Amen. Now then, if you know tonight that you was going to die, if you know this was the last message you'd ever hear, and when you got home you was going to die, you'd want to stay late tonight, wouldn't you?
Amen.
And tell me, Brother Kenny, that every few seconds, 35 people go out to meet God. Every day they tell me that 12,000 people starve to death. Every day. Every day. So people are going out to meet God all the time. And who knows but what you may be one of the 3,500 that will go out within a few seconds. Who knows but what I might be one of them. But all over the world, Brother Gerald, they're going out. 35 every few seconds. So then, let's just say, well, God, we want to make the best of it and do what we can to serve the Lord and love the Lord. And truly, it's uncomfortable in here. It's uncomfortable. But I'm going to tell you something, and I believe this. And of course, if you don't agree with me, well, that's all right. I don't fall out with folks because they don't agree with me. That's right. Me and my wife disagrees. Me and my children disagrees. But I don't fall out with them. I don't agree with them, but I don't fall out with them because they disagree with me. But I'm going to say this, and if you disagree, well, that's all right. But I believe with all of my heart that the Lord Jesus let this kerosene be like that tonight. And I believe that the many times that we are inconvenienced, I believe that God was the one that let it happen. The Bible said that He creates the good and He creates the evil, and He has His way in both. Amen. And God is determined to see whether we are willing to bear any cross at all for Him.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Jim, He's determined to see whether we really are living in the flesh or in the spirit. And He lets things cross our path again and again. He lets somebody cross us up and do us wrong to see if we'll stay sweet in our soul and love Him. And do like Job and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He'll let our wives cross us up. That's right. He'll let our friends cross us up. He'll let us do something for somebody and let them mistreat us in it. I've had it to happen many times, and no doubt you have, to see if we'll go home and sit down around the table and talk about them and to discuss them and take them apart. Of course, now you say, "Well, I've never been guilty of that." Well, I have. I've been guilty of those kind of things. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. So then God lets all these things happen to us to see where we're standing.
Right.
You've heard me tell how that one time Betty and I was over in a certain place. And I had been praying. As a matter of fact, if I make no mistake, it was 5 hours that day before I got off of my knees. I'd been talking to the Lord. And if I make no mistake, I'm not sure, but I believe that particular day, if I remember right, it was 5 hours before I got off of my knees in prayer. And I was going over to a church to preach. And after I got off of my knees, I just done some little something wrong, just some little minor something. Between me and my wife arose. And I was so sensitive in my spirit that I couldn't go to the pulpit and preach without making a confession of it. That's right. I felt like a hypocrite, or would have if I'd have went and preached with that in my heart. God let that little thing happen, just like He let the kerosene give out tonight. God let that little thing happen to see if I'd be sincere, and He had something He wanted me to do that night. And I went on to the Church of God that night, and I preached my message. But before I could preach my message, I told them what had happened. God brought it to my heart. I had to tell them. And I told them what had happened. And I want you to know, because I was honest and sincere with God, when they found out that I'd been praying, like I'd been praying, and I was sincere with God, the whole church repented of their sins and their evils and came to God. And came to God. And the Lord said to me, He said, "Do you see now, son, what I was wanting to do?" He said, "I was wanting to use you. And I was wanting to help those people get those evil things out of their heart that would bring the wrath of God upon them. And because of this, though you prayed 5 hours that day, yet I wanted to use you that night because God knew I was innocent. I'd done all I could do that day." And He said, "I wanted to use you while you was in a condition to use you to cause those people to confess their sins and come to God."
Amen.
And I want you to know that they did just exactly that. They confessed their sins and they came to God, and we had a wonderful, wonderful meeting. That's right. And God was very kind to us. God was very good to us. And God blessed us. Hallelujah. I think God's wonderful. He lets things happen to see if we really love Him. He lets things cross our path to see if we really care for the Lord Jesus. And the way that we overcome, the Bible said, when you are tried, if you overcome, then you shall receive the crown of life. It's not when you're prospering that you're going to receive the crown of life, but when thou art tried, if ye overcome in the trial. If you don't find fault with somebody, if you don't get bitter, if you don't flop and get mad, He said, then you'll receive the crown of life. That's right. Now, me and Betty had a little differences about 15 minutes ago before I come to the pulpit. That's right. We didn't agree on something. We have differences. And we still have differences just like we did years ago. And I still feel just like I did years ago about it. Amen, that's right. I believe with all my heart that you love the Lord, and I love the Lord, and I believe you're clean, and I believe I'm clean. The Bible said, "Give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you." I believe God keeps my heart clean because I try to do what's right. But I tell you, many things happen, and I believe that this little incident here where the heat gave out tonight, I believe that God allowed it to do it so that you wouldn't be convenient tonight to see if you could endure the cross. Amen. Just a little bit for him it really isn't a cross. You know it's not. But nevertheless, he just wants to see if you're sincere with God or if we're just falling for the fishes and the loaves and what we think we can get out of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad tonight to see Dad and the son-in-law come in there tonight. We appreciate having him back. I don't see Barbara tonight, but anyway, I believe I saw Jeff come in tonight. And we appreciate having you in the service with us tonight. May the Lord bless you. Hope you come every chance that you get. Now then, if you've got your Bibles, I want to read a little bit to you tonight. And I want to talk with you concerning the Word of the Lord. And just whatever the Lord will put in our hearts tonight, I want to share with you. And give me a little time, and I'll try to be as reasonable as I can to let you go. Once in a while, I get lengthy because I feel it's necessary to get lengthy. It's not just because I've got a lot to say and can't get it said. I feel to do it. And most of the time, I try to be reasonable, and Brother Taylor tries to be reasonable with the singing. We try to work together. It's not too many times that I've ever seen Brother Taylor miss the anointing in the leading of the singing. He usually knows just exactly when to close out. All right, now reading from chapter 7 in the book of St. John. I've been trying to stay as close to faith as I could in these last messages that I've been preaching. We've been having a teaching for many years and been trying to develop the characteristics of Jesus Christ within you that we might come to a place to where we could teach you faith. I know how you feel, a lot of you. Well, you think I'm a hypocrite and you think I'm all kind of things, and that's all right. I don't feel bad at you, that's all right. No matter what you think about me, I got a job to do. And to me, that don't make any difference. But now the thing is, I have been trying to teach faith. We've tried to bring you into a development of the characteristics of Jesus. And then from these characteristics of Jesus, after we develop those, and I feel like we have in some of you, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Then after that we've done this, then we wanted to instill faith within your heart. Real, genuine God faith. Faith that I've used to meet my needs for many years, to take care of me and my wife and children on the field, and to work one great miraculous thing after another in my life. I hear about people writing about miracles, but I could write a whole miracle book on a miracle life. And I praise God for it because it's been a continual miracle. And I praise God for it. And I'd like to try my best to indoctrinate you with the real, genuine faith of Jesus Christ that worked for me then and still works for me now and helps me with all of my problems. I don't confess to be any great fella or don't confess to have done any great thing. Paul said I wouldn't dare boast of those things that are without my measure, but I do confess Christ, and I do confess that things has taken place in my life, and I praise God for it. And I want to share what I know about Jesus with you. Hallelujah. In the 7th chapter of the book of St. John, I want you to notice here, reading, I think I'll start reading right here, in the 4th verse of the 7th chapter of the book of St. John. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world. Now, I want you to notice this. For neither did his brethren believe in him. I want you to see that now. Neither did his brethren believe in him. Now, here he is. He's done a lot of miracles. Been with him and done a lot of things, but a lot of folks, like I heard somebody say not too long ago, they said, well, if the people can see miracles, they'll believe. I said, no, they won't. No, they won't. Though one rose from the dead, the Bible said they wouldn't believe. Amen. No, they won't. Now, a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. If you're a Christian, you're going to believe when you hear the word. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast, and I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still at Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man, others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil who goest about to kill thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now then, I want you to notice that Jesus emphatically stated here in the writings of John that the world cannot hate you. He said, because you do not testify against the evil doings of the world. He said the world couldn't hate you because the Bible teaches that the world loveth its own. How many of us, Brother Taylor, ever take the liberty and the initiative in Christ to go out and tell somebody that they're doing wrong? How many times do we ever do that? How many times do we ever cross a man up and tell an individual, Dad, that he's wrong in what he's doing? A man will hate you if you cross him up and tell him that he's wrong. Now then, you let a man be going to college and tell him he ain't got no business in college. But the Bible said for him to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he knew, never having learned letters. They had colleges in that day. Amen. They had schools in that day because Paul taught at one of them. So then you begin to cross somebody in their future plans and see if they don't hate you. You begin to tell some businessman that the thing that he's doing is not pleasing to God, that he's trying to make money instead of carry the work of Jesus Christ, and that the thing he's doing is not just and not honest, and see if he don't hate you. You begin to tell, as John did over there, he spoke to one of them, he said, it's not lawful for you to have another man's wife. And the Bible teaches that she hated him. Amen, that's right. The woman that wanted to marry the king hated him, or wanted to marry the ruler hated him. Why? Because Jesus said, I testify of the world that its deeds are evil. Amen. Now I want you to know tonight that if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then we'll testify of the world that the deeds of this world are evil, and the things that people do will not stand in the judgment, and they are going to have to answer to God for those things if they don't get a change of heart. He stated that the world cannot hate you, but me, he said, it hateth, because I testify against its deeds. They took Stephen's, and Stephen's was a good man. Stephen's was a man full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of God. He was full of faith and he was full of power, but Brother Jimmy, they hated him, just like they hated Jesus. But Jesus said, as it is written, they hated me without a cause. They didn't have any cause to hate me. They hated me without a cause. He said, if they called me a devil, they'll call you a devil. If they spoke well of me, they'll speak well of you. If they've hated me, they'll hate you. If they've heard me, they'll hear you. Amen. If they believe in me, they'll believe in you. That's right. Now the man down there in hell, he said, send back somebody, Abraham. Let somebody, he said, go there and tell my brethren not to come to this place. He said, cause I'm tormented in these flames down here. I know a lot of modernistic preachers like to preach away the fact that there is a burning hell, but the rich man said, I'm tormented in these flames. So go back and tell my brother not to come. Send somebody back and tell him not to come into this awful place down here. But I want you to know that Abraham looked at him and said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. If they won't believe Moses and they won't believe the prophets, said, though a man rose from the dead, they still wouldn't believe him. You could come up from the dead, but they wouldn't believe you'd ever been dead to start with. Amen, that's right. They never did believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Today, you go talk to the Jews, they'll say that's just an old saying. Said his disciples stole him away. And the Bible said that saying is common unto this day. That his disciples stole him away. But we know that he resurrected from the dead. But yet they say that they don't believe he ever resurrected from the dead. A lot of people say, well, why doesn't the Jews believe? Here in the Holy Land is where all this thing took place. But they don't believe that. For the Bible said here that his brethren did not believe in him. Amen. They did not believe in him. And they crucified him. And according to the Bible, when Jesus Christ comes back on the white horse out there after the tribulation period, the Bible said they will say, where did you get these nails? Where did you get these nails? And he's going to say, brethren, you're the ones that nailed me to the cross. Then they're going to believe. Bob, they're going to believe in that hour. But then it's going to be too late. I know in my heart that God wants us to believe. He doesn't want us to look for signs and for wonders and for miracles. When somebody comes preaching to you that God's got to give some kind of great confirmation of his word to get us to believe it, that's a doctrine of the devil. God doesn't have to give anything. God's not going to give anything. They went back there in that day and they said, give us a sign. They did it in the days of Jesus. They said, give us a sign. But Jesus said, there won't be any sign except the sign of Jonah. He said, that's the only sign that you'll ever have is the sign of Jonah. Amen. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Daddy, it was a sign of the resurrection. I'll give you one sign, Jesus said. And that's the sign of the resurrection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
You've got a sign, my brother and my sister. And that sign is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the last days, there would be doctrines of devils. There would be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A seducing spirit is something that's seductive. It begins to talk to your heart and talk to your mind, and it eases you off into a frame of mind that you didn't intend to get in. And after a while, you've been caught in it like you're in a web, and there's nothing you can do about it. But you've got a sign of the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We've got a sign tonight. And the Bible said that a sinful and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but I'll give you one sign, the sign of the resurrection. Hallelujah. He said, when two or three come together, I'll be in the midst of them. He said, we are not of those dead that must see to believe, but Paul said, we believe to see. Amen. I don't have to see nothing to believe. Paul said, we are not of those that have to see to believe.
Amen.
When people start teaching you that you've got to wait to see something to believe, that's a doctrine of the devil because it's contrary to the Word of God. He said, we believe to see.
Right.
Amen. We're supposed to have faith without signs. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Amen. But a sinful and adulterous generation follow the signs. A sinful and adulterous generation wants to see something before they believe anything. But not you and I. We believe that God might work the miracles in us. Amen. That he might give us the faith that we need within our heart. And this morning as I was preaching about the miracle working faith of Jesus, it's the faith of God within our hearts. Amen. That brings us into the place that God wants us to be in. Hallelujah. We don't have to do anything to get that faith. We don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. It's a gift of God unto us. We don't have to do anything to get salvation. And as I said this morning, if we have to fast and if we have to pray to get faith, then there's no way we can be saved, because it takes faith to save us before we ever fast and pray. Amen. It says, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. Every one of you have a measure of faith. Amen. Whether you ever fast today in your life or not, whether you ever pray a prayer or not, God has dealt it unto every man that you might be saved. Hallelujah. And I said this morning, a lot of times we get hung up on the snag where it said this kind come about only by prayer and fasting. I've made the statement many years ago as a young minister in the Church of God that a man can't live an overcoming life without fasting. He can't live an overcoming life without praying. He's got to pray. He's got to fast. Amen. But the thing that we don't want to do is get that confused with faith. Amen. We said this kind come about prayer and fasting, and this is the only way that you can get it. He was speaking of the strength of the faith that would cast out devils. That's the kind of faith he was speaking of. Amen. When they couldn't cast out the devils. Somebody said they didn't have power. That couldn't be right. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, they just didn't have any faith. They just didn't have any power. That couldn't be right. Because the Bible said Jesus had given them power. Right. He had called together 12 of them and given them power over the unclean spirits. Amen. That's right. You say, well, what was wrong? Well, he's given us power too. I said, he's given us power too.
Amen.
Somebody said, I got to fast to get power. You don't fast to get power. Amen. The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power.
Amen.
You say, well, you have to fast to get the Holy Ghost. Daddy, if I had to fast to get the Holy Ghost, then God lied to me. Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost was a gift. If I've got to pay you for something, then it's not a gift. Paul said it's then it would be of works, and some man could boast and say, I fasted longer than you did. But the Bible said prayer is works. The Bible said it is excluded. How? Through the law? No, by faith. Amen. This is what got away with it. On one occasion, Paul was working miracles. They come over there where he was, and they begin to preach the law. Well, the law was works. Anybody knows the law was fasting, praying, keeping of carnal ordinances. And here Paul was working miracles. And they came over there to Paul, and they began to talk about keeping the law. And Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. He said one thing that I want to ask of you. He said, did I work these miracles by the law, or did I work these miracles by faith in God? They had to confess that he worked them by faith in God. He didn't work them by law. Amen. So then we've got power. God has already given us power.
Amen.
My friend, we've got enough power to speak a world into existence.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We've got power. We don't have to fast to get power. We don't have to pray to get power. We've got power from God. To as many as believed, gave you power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to as many as believed on his name.
Amen.
You say, Brother Pike, what is the power? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word. When you hear the word of God, if you can believe the word of God, then the word of God is power. For the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. Amen. If you're sick in your body, when the Bible said by stripes you were healed, if you can believe those words, that's power. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your faith will turn the word into power.
Amen.
For he said the gospel is power. Amen. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and saved them. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto healing. Amen. And by the way, salvation also means healing. It means deliverance. It's the power of God. Everything that you need, my brother and sister, is in the word of God right here. All you got to do is believe it. You got to believe it. So then we don't want to get mixed up in what we're trying to learn. You got power. You say, well, what did he mean, Rupert, by fasting and prayer? When they tried to cast the devil out of that little boy, they couldn't cast it out. And they went to Jesus, and they said, Lord, why could we not do this? He didn't say because you hadn't fasted and prayed. He said because of your unbelief.
Amen.
Now he added this to it. He said, howbeit, this time goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now you say, Brother Pike, it sounds like you're contradicting what you said. No. No, I'm not. Jesus had given them power, but he told them it was undeveloped power. It was undeveloped power. Just like Einstein's theory of relativity. Most of you children in school know that. How that mass matter is potential power. But you've got to break it down before you can ever use it. That's where the atom bomb comes from. That's that great, powerful atom bomb where they take the elements out of the air. And Peter said the elements being on fire. Amen. Last days, he said they discovered the atom bomb. How do you know he said they discovered the atom bomb? Because he said the elements would be on fire.
Amen.
And that's what that is. That's the elements. When Einstein discovered that everything was potential energy, and this potential energy could be turned into a kinetic energy by the right mixture through the power of the theory of relativity. He discovered it and revolutionized the whole world. Amen, by his discovery. Because it was the hour of power that had come into the world. Everything has to fall its type and shatter. Just like men are looking at televisions in the day we're living in. Why? Why is television in this day? Why didn't they discover it long, long ago? Because he said in the last days your young men shall see visions.
Amen.
And the antitype had to fall on the true. Amen. It has to be that way. And so then, this theory of potential energy, we can turn potential energy. Everything is potential energy. Your body is. Amen. That's right. So we can turn it into power, which of course they call kinetic energy. We can turn it into power if we use the right formula to do it with. You understand what I'm saying? When this thing hit, it turned them into a flame of fire. That's a symbol, my brother and my sister, of that fiery chariot that caught away Elijah. That we have now discovered the power and the faith and the knowledge that can unlock the heavens and cause our bodies to be translated or transformed in the likeness of God, who is a consuming fire, and raptured away to be with him in his presence. Amen. Now you following what I'm talking about? He said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, if it's after, that means we've got to do something. The original rendering says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why?
Hallelujah.
Because the Holy Ghost is power.
Glory.
It is power. It's the spirit of truth. You say, what is truth, Brother Pye? Jesus said, my word is truth. He said, the word is the gospel, and the gospel is power. So then, if that is the spiritual word of truth, then that's the power in spirit. Amen. That's a spiritual power. The Word made spirit. That's the power when you receive the Holy Ghost. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved when they speak in tongues. That's no proof of being saved. They say, I'm saved because I pray. That's no proof of being saved. My brother, the proof of being saved is when your spirit becomes the spirit of truth. The Bible said, if you have not the spirit of God, you're none of his. And when you get the spirit of truth, your spirit will testify in your daily deeds to the Word of God. That's the only proof that you're born to the Word, the incorruptible seed of God. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. Amen. The Bible said, you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. There is but one Spirit, and in the beginning was God the Word Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Your nature will act like Jesus Christ without changing, without versatility of thought. It'll always be like Jesus Christ. So then we have power by faith in God. We have power. Now, but the thing is, we've got to cultivate the power. We've got to cultivate it. If we got potential energy, then you've got to break it down. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to use the right formula on it. And I praise God for faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I praise God for the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I praise God because he had a few things. He said, Peter's the keys to the kingdom. Amen. A composition that can unlock the powers of God. Amen. Just like Einstein did with the theory of relativity. Acting as Peter, he just took the keys to the elements and unlocked it and let everybody into it. That's right. So then I praise God because we've got power. But we've got to learn to utilize that power for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Stephen was a man full of faith and full of power. God gave him this. Jesus went into the wilderness, wrestled with the devil for 40 days, and returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, glory to God, there's the answer. All I got to do is fast 40 days. Paul fasted 14 days, and the angel of God appeared to him.
Amen.
The power of God came. Somebody said, well, it don't take but 14 days. But the Bible said after 3 days on the road to Damascus,
Amen.
That Paul looked up and Jesus appeared to him and talked to him right in heaven. Somebody said, well, glory to God, it don't take but 5 days to do it. But here Moses was, before God ever used him any at all, God appeared to him in a burning bush and sent him down into Egypt to deliver the children. Somebody said, well, glory to God, I don't have to fast at all. Amen. So every bit of it's wrong. Now, you say, well, what's right? The Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Word of God's right. So then what have we got to do? Jesus said you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. Now the little, here comes this man. The Bible said he's a man of authority then. He belongs to an army. He comes over there to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got a servant at home that's sick of the palsy. And he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, my servant's at home, said he's sick, grievously tormented. He's sick at home and he needs help. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And here the man said, no, you don't have to come and heal him. He said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. I say to this man to come, and he comes. He said, all you've got to do is just speak the words, and my servant will be all right. Now then, where is the power? Where is the power? The man recognized the power's in the spoken word. That's where the power is.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. The power's in the spoken word. The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. So then the man said, now my word's with power. If you're God, how much more is your word with power? So he said, just send your word of power and it'll take care of it.
Amen. Praise God.
Jesus, I tell you what, I never read where Jesus ever shouted, but I believe he come by as near shouting there if he ever has shouted his life, Brother Bob, if he ever did. Because he marveled. He said, I've never seen such great power. I've never found of such great faith, he said. No, no, not in any man. Never, he said, even in Israel, that's in Jacob, in all the children of Israel. I've never found such faith, he said. Never, never. Amen. That's what he told them. He said, beware, because they're going to come from the east and from the west and sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. Amen. Amen. And so it is that it works just exactly that way. They came from the east, came from the west, and was translated into the kingdom of the living God. And after that, the Jews were cast into the outer darkness, out of the mind of God. And at the wailing walls of Jerusalem, they're crying today. Why? Why? Because of their unbelief. You say, Brother Pike, is that why they was cut off? My brother, I want you to know they fasted. I want you to know they prayed. I want you to know they went to church. But God never heard them. They said, wherefore have we fasted, say they. And thou takest no knowledge. He said, because in the day of your fast you find pleasure. Amen. You exact all of your labors. He said right here, a man that seeketh his own glory, he's not seeking the glory of God. Dad, the Bible said they sought righteousness as though it was by works, and God went off and left him. The man stood in the temple and beat on his chest and said, I fast twice in a week. I pay tithe of all I possess. But that never won the favor of God. But the other man beat on his chest.
Amen.
And believed that God would have mercy, and he was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul warned the Jews, shook his raiment, and turned away from them. Amen, that's right. Why? Because no flesh shall be justified by the law. That's right. I'm speaking of faith in God, my brother, my sister. If you're going to be saved, if you're going to have power with God, if you're going to have a favor with God, you've got to have faith in the Word. That's why I preach the Word. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, we got to believe the Word. I said, if the Word said something, we got to believe it. I said, it don't matter what it says, we got to believe it. I said, if there's anything said outside that, we don't believe it. And this individual said to me, he said, well, I know that's true. And they agreed with me right down the line. They said, but now what if God speaks something to you? Did you know that's the way people want to get around the Word of God? It doesn't matter what you tell them, they always got that. But now, I know that's true, but now don't you know God speaks to you sometimes? My brother and my sister, God never speaks to you outside of the Word. I don't care if it's a dream, if it's a vision, I don't care if it's a prophecy, I don't care if it's a whatever it can be. If He don't speak according to the Word, it's not God. Amen. Wouldn't I be some kind of fool if I come up here and preach to you the Word of God, and I told you not to go out here and get in a double marriage, and you've done like I've had some people to tell me. They come to me and they say, well, I know the Bible says that, Brother Pike. They said, but now God told us it was all right. Now then, if God's kingdom is divided, He Himself testified that it wouldn't stand. Because He said a kingdom, a divided, won't stand. If He sends me to preach one thing to you and then tells you something else different from what He told me to preach, then His kingdom is doomed. God doesn't do that. Amen. You've got no sure word of prophecy if God will change it and speak to somebody and tell them something different. He will not. Amen. He will not.
Amen.
Amen. What He says to one, He said, I say to all.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. And so then, if I preach the Word of God to you, you got to believe the Word of God, and you need not look for a vision or nothing else, because God isn't going to tell you anything else. You're not going to get any liberties outside of the Word of God. It's the Word of the Lord, and this is the only thus saith the Lord there is right here. Amen. That's right. There ain't no other. There ain't no other. Hallelujah. So then, it's faith in the Word of the living God. It's faith. This man said, speak the Word. Speak the Word. Amen. Speak the Word. Why? In the beginning was the Word. Amen. Jesus said, think not that I come to judge you in the last days. You have one to judge you, even the words that I speak. It's going to be the Word in the beginning. It's going to be the Word in the end. And it's the Word in between.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's the Word.
Praise.
That man said, just say that word of authority. Hallelujah. I'm glad he did say that word of authority. I'm glad that he did say that by his stripes I was healed. I'm glad that he did put my sins behind him at Calvary. I'm glad that he took away all of the sin and the curse of the law, of sickness and poverty and heartaches. I'm glad by the word it says that he did it. Hallelujah. And I'm free from the curse of the law through that word of authority. I don't have to ask God to heal me. I don't have to ask God to heal me, because the Bible says He's already healed me. I've got to believe His word of authority. Hallelujah. Like the man did. Praise God. When the word was spoken, he accepted it. And God has sent His word to us, Dad. All we got to do is believe it. All we got to do is believe it. Brother Jim, when it's preached, we can be saved. If it's preached, all we got to do is believe it to be saved, to be healed. Amen. That's right. That's what we've got to do. Just believe the word. Because it is a word of authority. It is a word of power. The man said, speak the word, Lord, and my servant shall be healed. And the Bible said that he went home and his servant was healed. His servant was healed. Another man came to Jesus and he was having trouble and his son was sick. And he said, Lord, I want you to heal my son. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. The Bible said that the man went his way, and when he got back to where he was supposed to be, said his son was well. Said he inquired of them and said, tell me, when did my son start getting well? Now see, this man knowed something. This man had faith in the power of the word. He said, now tell me the time that my son started amending. They said it was such and such a time yesterday, I believe it was. He said, just the time that the master spoke.
Praise the Lord.
The words of authority. He had faith in the word. Hallelujah. He had faith in the word. I remember when Brother Branham came out on the platform one day, and Betty and I were sitting in this meeting up in a balcony, and here before many hundreds of people, he came out and I prayed to God. And I said, God will see the anointing on that man. I believe that God's with that man. I believe the anointing is with him. I see the anointing over there. And I said, God, I believe. I want you to speak to me, God. And immediately my faith registered, and the man turned around, and not the man, but God spoke to me. Because the man took the anointing. Only God knows what's in the heart. My faith touched God, and God spoke to me. Hallelujah! Glory to God. You said, well, why are you so excited? Because that proves I got faith in God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Something to be excited about. Amen. A little woman came up behind the Lord Jesus Christ, and here she was. According to the Bible, she was unclean. She wasn't even to be in the presence of those people. And they would have stoned her to death for having the issue of blood and coming into the presence of those people. But the little woman took courage. She came into the presence of them, and the Bible said Jesus was thronged with the people. Dad, she couldn't get close to him. But the Bible said, she said within her heart, if I can touch the hem of his garment, hallelujah, I'll be healed. If I can but touch the hem, hallelujah, I'll be healed. Can you see that tonight? This little woman purposed in her heart that if she could just get close to him. And I believe within my heart that she kept saying over and over, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get just close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. And I believe that one might have pushed her away, but she didn't get discouraged. She kept pressing through. And another may have pushed her away, but she kept pressing through. And others may crowd her out, but she kept pushing through. And after a while, she got just close enough to where she could stretch out and reach over and touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible said the very minute she touched the word made flesh, she touched the hem of his garment, the very minute she said, my God, I'm healed. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You understand what I mean? See, she kept saying, if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. But my brother, she let that thing sit right there for a time of release of her faith. And when she touched the Lord Jesus Christ's garment, she didn't no more in her heart say, if I can, he will. Or if he would, he could. When she touched the hem of his garment, she said, glory to God, at last it happened.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Don't you feel it?
Hallelujah.
That's funny.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Wasn't no more worrying about it. Wasn't no more saying maybe after a while. She said, that's it. That's it. I'm going to say this and try to close tonight. My brother and my sister, you better stop saying, if I can make it to the judgment and do right while I'm on my way, that I'm going to be saved. You better get it out of your heart. Saying within your heart that I'll stand there and I believe you'll have mercy on me and I'll be saved. Amen. You better get it out of your mind that you're going to do the best you can and you believe God's going to let you in. Amen. Because that's going to cause you to be damned and to be lost. That's going to cause you to be lost. The Bible teaches that when we call on the name of the Lord, we're saved. It teaches that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. It teaches that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It teaches that we already have salvation, that we already have eternal life, and we've got to believe that we're already eternal in the sight of God, and that we don't have to go before judgment for God to decide our destiny, that we're already eternally saved and forgiven, and that when we get there, all we're going to do is hear him say, well done, enter in. If you don't have that kind of faith, you're going to be lost. Amen. Jesus said it's finished. I believe with all of my heart that that's what it's going to take. I want you to stand with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I appreciate you sitting tonight knowing that it's cold, and yet you're sitting listening to the Word of God tonight. And I hope, Paul said, we're making many rich. I hope that you have a little better understanding of faith tonight. I would like to really have elaborated on that tonight and brought out some things. But I hope that you have a little better understanding of what faith is. I've been trying message after message as much as I could with you to bring out something concerning faith and what I learned about it and how it works. And so help me God, it does work.
Hallelujah.
It does work.
Amen.
Amen. It does work. You say, well, are you excited about it? Oh my, you just don't know how much. Somebody said, if I was going to make about $200 this week, I'd get excited. That sounds like beggarly. That sounds like trash to me. I'll tell you, if you can one time learn that you believe, and you know that you believe, that proves that you're elect. And if you believe, Jesus said, everything from then on is
Amen.
At your favor.
Glory to God.
Everything, you can do everything from then on. For all things are possible to them that believe. A lot of times when we say all things are possible, people get the idea that that means maybe we can do it. It doesn't mean maybe. It means because you believe, there's nothing impossible to you anymore. You can do anything you want to. That's what he's saying. Amen. So then, if you have learned how to believe, if you ever learned to believe, so help me God, it works.
Amen.
It works.
Thank you, Lord.
It works. Praise God. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Dad, that's why so many times when you pray for a little child, I've seen Daddy pray for a little child, and he'd be praying, and I could tell he didn't really believe he was going to be healed. But he was hoping. And then all of a sudden he'd get broke up on the inside, and tears would start running down his cheek. He'd start sobbing, and then he really believed he was going to be healed. And he really believed that God had healed him. He'd just cry, and his faith would just say, God done it. God done it. And of course there wasn't no way to get around it. Once you believe that, there's nothing in the world can change it. It's about to happen. Amen. It's so help me. It's true. So help me God. Hallelujah.